Yes, well, good morning, everybody. Nice to be with you all the way from Leamington Spa, as you've heard. Sorry, this is a bit of an Elcombe show this morning, but it won't be like that every week, I promise you. So I'm going back to my Old Testament unsung hero, Gideon, and I'm very grateful that Andrew's let me continue this series as we continue to talk about Gideon's story. If you've missed it so far, well, very simply, we talked about Gideon's call. God called him to serve as a leader of his nation. And he responded with a rather hesitant willingness, saying, yes, here I am, I'm willing. And then God challenged him to have a kind of spiritual clean out, to get rid of all that pagan stuff that had been added on and to worship God alone. He had to destroy his father's altars and idols. And he did that in a rather cunning, clever way by doing it at night when everybody's asleep. So now the real work begins. Gideon's task is to free his people from the oppression of a bullying neighbor, the Midianites. And the thing he struggles with, well, two things he struggles with, are being sure exactly what God wants him to do, and being sure exactly when God wants him to do it. Because the trouble with bullies and abusers is that they're not usually a one-off that can be forgotten. They just get you time and time again. When they know that your weakness, they come back and hit you in the same place again. I know it from experience at school. So Gideon was facing the annual invasion of the Midianites. They did it every year. This was the eighth year in a row that they'd done it. The Midianites and their allies, they crossed the River Jordan into Israelite territory and set up their camp in a valley. And from there, they would send out raiding parties. And they would steal and they would destroy crops and they would abuse and abduct women and just make a nuisance of themselves and make everybody's lives a misery, spoiling people's livelihoods. And here was Gideon's challenge to sort out this problem, not just once, but for good. And before anything else happens, I want you to notice three things. First of all, the connection between God and Gideon, between Gideon, just at the very time that he needed to act, something happened to Gideon. It says in verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. As Gideon started to act at that very moment, he discovered he wasn't alone, but God's strength came on him. The word used suggests that Gideon was almost clothed with the presence of God. God was all around him. God was inside him as his strength. God was seen to go with him wherever he went. God was in front of him and behind him and above him and below him and around him. God was there to defend him and protect him. God was there to work with him. Reminds me of some words that we call St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. You'll perhaps remember these. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of men that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. And before we do anything for God, we need to know that connection. It's not just a Gideon thing, it was a Jesus thing as well. Jesus said that he only did what he saw his Father doing. And it's the same for us. We must do things in God's strength, not our own. And in this divine human partnership that is ours as Christians, we do things in his way and in his time. So that was the first thing, the connection between Gideon and God. A second thing I want to note is about collaboration. Because having been clothed by that close connection with God, Gideon didn't rush off and try and do it on his own. He immediately looks for other people to work with him. He collaborates with the Abiezerites. He goes with support from Manasseh and Asher and Zebulon and Naphtali. Some of those who worked with him were just like him from his hometown. They seemed to have forgotten, fortunately, the incident of destroying the idols where they were so annoyed. That's all in the past now. Some came from other places. They were different from him in all sorts of ways, but they shared the same basic concern: free their country from the Midianite oppressors. One thing people find interesting is that he didn't get support from the largest and most powerful group that could have been on his side, the people from Ephraim. Perhaps he wasn't brave enough to quite go that far. Perhaps he felt that he would be treading on their toes somehow. A great leader, but still with a lot to learn. So, the clothing with God's power, that close connection, and the collaboration with others. And now we get to the thing that I really want to concentrate on, which I've called confirmation. When we started the story of Gideon, I said Gideon would be slightly familiar to you because you probably heard of Gideon's Bibles. There's a second reason that Gideon may be familiar to you, because of this action of putting out a fleece. It's a phrase that some people use. If they want some confirmation to know something's right, something the right thing to do, then they put out a fleece. And Gideon asked God to do something unusual as a sign that he was on the right lines, doing the right thing. He put out a fleece. This was a real fleece. He was a farmer, after all. And he said, if when I come and see this fleece in the morning, the ground is dry, but the fleece is wet, then that will be a sign. Now, Gideon wasn't asking for the totally impossible. He didn't ask for 30 dead bears to arrive at his door. In a heavy dew, the wool fleece absorbs lots of moisture overnight. In the morning, the sun dries up the ground, but by early morning, when he got out to look at it, it hadn't had time to dry up all the dew that had been absorbed by the fleece. So the fleece was wet, the ground was dry. And that's what happened when Gideon put out his fleece. He looked in the morning, the ground was dry, the fleece was wet, and that for him was a sign for God, from God, a sign that he was doing the right thing. But he was still unsure. He still needed convincing. After all, this was his first act as a military leader, and so he asked for another sign. And he asked this time for the exact opposite. He put his fleece out again. And this time he said, please God, if I'm doing the right thing, next time I want the ground to be wet, but the fleece to be dry. Again, that's not entirely impossible. Fleeces sometimes are full of lanolin that sometimes can repel the water, so the ground might be wet and the fleece could dry out first. And that's what happened. That was his sign. That was the confirmation he was looking for. God said to him twice, now is the time for you to do battle with the Midianites. But what about this idea of putting out a fleece? We have to be very careful when we read stories like this, because God does not expect us to blindly copy what was done then. This means of confirmation was specifically for Gideon, wasn't necessarily meant for us. I mean, most of us don't have sheep's fleeces hanging around at home anyway. In another story in the Bible, young David faces an enemy, Goliath, and God says to him, take a stone, sling it at him, knock him out dead. Which doesn't mean that every time we get somebody who opposes us, we should get a stone, hit them in the head and kill them. That was a one-off. That was for David at that time in that setting. Imagine the chaos if we go around with a pocket full of stones throwing them at people's heads when they get in our way. But God does understand human weakness. He knows our frailty. Psalm says he knows what we're made of. So he knows that we need confirmation, as Gideon did. And God has 101 different ways of confirming to us that we're going in the right direction. As you know, Caroline and I have been moving house, and it's a big thing to do at this time of life, to uproot. But we felt from things that we read in our Bible readings again and again that this was the right thing to do. And time again, little things confirm for us that we're going in the right direction, doing the right thing. That didn't mean it was all problem-free or stress-free. It certainly hasn't been that. There's been a bit of roller coaster sometimes of ups and downs. Will this work? Will it not? What will the date be? This or that? But along the way, enough things happened, fell into place to assure us that we were going in the right direction. And we have to learn to watch and listen and look. And God will confirm. He will shut doors if they're not right. And that's painful. We've been there. We know that. But God will say to you, this is not right for you at this time. And that door will shut. Then other times doors will open as if God is beckoning us to go forward. And little confirmations will help us on the way. But I want to give us a warning. When Jesus rose from the dead, he came to his disciples and doubting Thomas, you remember, was challenged to put his finger in the place where the crucifixion wounds were. And he responded with faith, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. Those who walk by faith and not by sight. God knows our weakness. He does give us various confirmations at different times, but he wants to help us to rely less on confirmation. Let me put it this way. This is how I try and understand it. When a child first starts school, the teacher looks at their work constantly. It's all checked. They're given heaps of praise. They're told they're doing well, etc., etc. That's right. They need that encouragement, that monitoring. But when that child grows up and goes on to college or university, it'll all be very different. They won't get all those pats on the back. They'll be left on their own more and more. They may get one or two key confirmations once or twice a year, but they'll have to expect it and rely on it less often. They need to grow in confidence and maturity, learning how to make good decisions and how to follow them through. And in some ways, I think that's like us, learning how to discern God's path, how to follow it without putting out fleece after fleece. You probably heard the story about the person who prayed every day to God about what color socks they should wear. I don't think that's how God wants us to be. I think God wants us to use our mind and our common sense and to follow through what we know to be the right thing. Some of you know I've got a terrible sense of direction. So I love to see road signs that tell me that I'm going in the right direction. And if you see a sign that tells you that you're going on the road to the place you want to go to, that's fine. But a mile or so later, I want to see another road sign that says you're still on the right road. But that doesn't very often happen. And sometimes I'll panic, and Caroline knows that. I'll say, am I still on the right way? For often you won't see another road sign until you get there. But I have to learn to trust that if the direction was right 10 minutes ago, it's still right now. If I haven't turned off onto a different road, I must still be going the right way. Now, if there's been a diversion and things have changed, it's a very different story. I'm actually fortunate because I have Caroline with me always, who always knows where we are and where we're going. And I think spiritual life is a bit like that. Confirmations come, but we shouldn't expect them every 5 minutes. And God often provides people around us who have a better sense of the direction of travel than we do. And we should really listen to them, and we ignore them at our peril, as I'm still having to learn. So Gideon's fleece is all about looking to God to confirm that we're doing the right thing, that we're on the right path. And God will. He'll confirm it with an inner peace. He'll confirm it by things that people say. He'll confirm it by what we read in the Bible. And he will keep on reminding us of that. For us, it was the story of Abraham's call that kick-started this move to a new house. And strangely, the day I was preparing this message, first of all, on a random Instagram post was exactly the same verse from the Bible, as if God keeps saying to us, this is what I want you to hear. And those words from the Bible can be God's confirmation. The things that happen can be God's confirmation. The order they happen in can be God's confirmation. In all different ways, God will confirm what he wants us to do. You see, God doesn't want to go out night after night pouring water on some fleeces and drying out others. He wants his spirit within us to prompt us, to guide us, to lead us, to be a kind of inner compass to point us in the right direction. God will confirm, and we need to look to him to direct us. We began the service with the farmer family, so let's end with the farmer family. I'm sure you're looking forward to Chris coming. And Chris has a favorite verse in the scripture, a verse that you'll know well from Proverbs. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He did it for Gideon. He's done it for us. And he'll do it for you. As you acknowledge him, he will confirm your path, your direction, and lead you in the right way. Let us pray together. Oh God, our Father, we thank you that you do indeed guide and lead and direct us as your people. And we pray that through your spirit living within us, you would help us to know the right decisions to make, the right time to make them, and the right paths to follow. And Lord, we ask that you would specifically and directly lead us in the choices and decisions we have to make and help us to know your confirmation that we are traveling in your direction and doing the things you want us to do. So we thank you for that. And we pray that just as Gideon was clothed by your spirit, that we too might know that you are with us and about us and around us, behind and before, above and below, that you are in all of our living, all of our paths that we travel, in all the things that we do. So, Father, we commit ourselves into your hands once more. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.